Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
That's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out. Here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Obi-Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of what?
Where's Sean?
I was told.
Does he do cool down camps with his fighters too?
Yeah, they have an
a celebration tour.
They have an 8-week beer drinking camp that they're going to be
Come
doing.
Come on!
So here's what I was told. So Ken Evans is the one yelling about Sean Desay. Obi-Wan Kenobi is here. And then I myself, Eric O'Brien, also here. Sean has messaged me on Facebook last night from whatever part of the country he's in currently, which I'm guessing is Arizona-Vegas.
Something, okay, something like that.
Somewhere around there. And he will be back in 12 days.
12 days.
Wow.
So not even – what kind of notice is that?
I don't know. Maybe that was his 2-week notice. I don't. Maybe I'll be back in 12 days, but I'm not coming back.
You gotta take bets whether he actually will be here in 12 days.
My 2-week notice. I am out. We have two events this week. One of them has already happened. The next one will happen if you're getting really excited on Saturday night to sit around your television and watch Fight Night from Dublin to check out Conor McGregor. You are out of luck, my friend, because it is on Fight Pass. So you'll have to watch it on your phone.
So there was something on Fight Pass. Thanks.
It will be this weekend. The middle of the day too.
In the middle of the day, yes.
Incredibly convenient for all of us.
Well, and you know we've talked.
Wait a minute, you're the one that keeps telling us about the worldview and Dana White and this.
I'm
and
not
that
saying
and
I
Virginia.
Like it. You know, 2:30 on a Saturday is kind of hard to block out. You know, 4 hours to watch Conor McGregor on Fight Pass, which you can only watch on your phone or your
laptop.
They
won't just tell us when the. Let alone the main event. They won't tell us when the main card starts. Because I remember earlier in the week, I got my Fight Pass beep on the Fox Sports 1 card. And that thing went off. I think I was still at work. I think it went off at like 2 in the afternoon. Like, beep. Oh, Fight Pass prelims. I'm like, really? I'm going to remember to turn on the TV in like 4 hours when I actually can and get home from work?
Right. I just think it's... We've talked about this, like their plan to do things for other countries. But one of the... unintended consequences when you do this, in my opinion, is when you put Conor McGregor on at 2:00 in the afternoon.
He's a guy you should be building up to
right,
want to pay for.
Because if you want him to fight for the title, somebody has to see him fight. That's kind of how it works. Also, the co-main event is Gunnar Nelson, who you also want to see fight for a title. So somebody needs to see him fight.
This is a very interesting look at these Fight Pass versus Fight Night versus Fox Sports Night cards. You look at this one and... it's one of those situations where, this is one of those I wouldn't make as much fun of as I'd usually make. Because, there's some fighters on there you'll want to see. I mean, I don't know if it's going to end up like the Fox Sports 1 card where everybody's super excited about 10 finishes. But you're upset because does that mean we didn't see a competitive fight?
I'm not upset. I just think that there are a number of ways to look at this sport. And we kind of have to decide as a group of fans of this sport, kind of what is it that you want to see? To focus on what happened on Wednesday night, Fox Sports 1, UFC Fight Night 44, because 45 is in Dublin. You had 9 finishes, which for most people, very, very exciting.
Yet still it went to 1 in the morning.
And still it went, because you have things that we were just talking before we went on the air. You have things like Jasmine Duke gets annihilated by Leslie Smith, so you get to watch that twice as opposed to...
You're going
to
watch every woman fight 100 times until they can get people in there to fight Ronda. That's what you're. That's why you
until
saw that
you
10
like
times.
It.
Right, exactly. Like, look, Jasmine Duke, she's going to fight her, so you're
well,
we're
no,
going to make sure you
she's
see
not going
to
fight her now because she was, you know...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Leslie Smith.
You
I'm
know,
sorry.
Leslie Smith looked like she was playing a video game just trying out all the buttons.
See, that's why they showed over and over again, because I had the wrong name, so when I go to the pay-per-view, I'm like, why don't they get the winner? They did win. Oh, that's why they keep showing me this fight. Because I'm not really paying attention anytime I watch it.
Jessamyn did break her hand in that fight.
It still doesn't excuse that performance because I can make a long list of fighters, including one Ronda Rousey who won a fight with a broken hand
within 16 seconds.
So
somewhere Uriah Hall is laughing.
Yes, when his
in between his wincing
when his shin bone is sticking out of the bottom of his foot and he's still kicking you.
It was
with
a big
his,
toe. Let's calm down. Let's calm down.
You have. Look, there were a lot of exciting fights on Wednesday, and I love that we had a lot of finishes, but I think we need to squelch down the emphasis on the finishes for this reason only, because we want to have, well, I'm all for finishes if it's Donald Cerrone and Jim
Miller.
That's
what I'm going to say. It's only okay in the main event, though? Everybody wants to see Donald Cerrone flip around and spin and punch a guy in the head and kick him in the face.
I'm all for finishes when Lanker takes out Osilovic, and I'm all for Joe Proctor winning. But you have a whole bunch of Edson Barboza marching across the cage and kicking Evan Dunham essentially two times and ending the fight. Yeah, that's a finish. Yep, that's exciting. Yep, we love to see Edson Barboza just annihilate people, but that's not a that was not a competitive fight.
Don't you like showcases? Why don't you like them, Eric? I mean, I honestly think they're one of the things that the UFC has been missing for the most part, especially in fights under that main event. Yeah, showcase fights for guys. You know, you never know what's going to happen in that fight with Evan Dunham. What most people probably thought would happen happened.
Yeah. Evan Dunham's 0-3 coming into.
Go ahead
this
and
fight.
Get on the mic over there, Joe.
Sorry.
If you want
eating this thing, if you're gonna, so you can hear me.
Welcome to radio.
Yeah, he's been in here how long?
Right,
exactly. We know what's probably going to happen. What's so bad about seeing that actually happen sometimes? Because the opposite could have happened. Fight's a fight.
Yeah, it's just like, well, compare this to Ronda Rousey, you know, winning in 16 seconds. Some people complained about that. Well, no, you paid to see her being such a dominant champion. It was a good competitor, but she's just that much better.
Are you upset that we're under main event level with this?
I'm not,
because there's a difference. I think Ronda doing it, and then maybe Edson Barboza not doing it in the main event.
I think you're overstating. What I'm saying is, I just think we need to relax on counting how many. Yes, it's exciting that there were finishes on a Wednesday night. And yes, it was exciting that a majority of these people, most people didn't know, and they really delivered. And that's what, you know, Ken, you and I talk about with these cards, is that we want people to go for broke, and you got that. What I'm saying is we need to chill out when you see things like, why do I need to see? Well, I know why, we just talked about it, but why do I need to see Yasmin Duke, who was clearly outclassed, and everybody said going into the fight, outclassed by Leslie Smith before she even steps into the octagon, and look, it looked like Leslie Smith was playing UFC EA Sports.
Well, every discussion we have is coming back to the number of cards they're running. That's all it is. The number of cards they're running is why we're going to see these type of fights, and we're going to see fighters, and as great a job as Joe Silva does, and as much as he knows this business inside and out, probably better than anybody, because he's the guy that really has to know each fighter and who they probably can and can't fight. And I've told you before, and I've asked Sean before in the room, I'm like, how can you really tell? I mean, because you see two guys fight each other, depending on their skill level against each other, it's hard to tell how they're going to, how do they go to that next level or level after that? Joe Silva's the guy that has to figure all that out.
Yeah.
Even he, with this many cards to book, he either is going to miss sometimes, or he knows that he doesn't necessarily have a guy he can match up in that situation. So you know what? Maybe Leslie Smith can be somebody who can go in there and fight Ronda Rousey. I'm not saying that he says, let's get her a win, but you could see a situation where the UFC looks at some of these fights and goes, let's get them a showcase. Let's give them an opportunity to show what they can do. Is it a guaranteed win? No. But it's an opportunity to show what they can do, and they probably should win. But that doesn't mean it's always going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't expect competitive fights up and down these cards anymore. That's another one of the casualties we're going to see with a UFC Fight Pass card coming up on Saturday afternoon. I mean, they have to fill that thing out. Yeah, they're using a lot of local talent. They're using some European talent, some Eastern European talent there. But still, you've got a lot of cards to fill out. We had an entire pay-per-view canceled. They don't have the fighters to run these cards top to bottom the way we're used to 10, 15 years ago.
And we'll talk about it, but they don't really have the fighters for the pay-per-view after that, as the co-main event would indicate. But you had Donald Cerrone, a brilliant performance by Donald Cerrone. 2014, I know they said it on Wednesday night. 2014 is clearly his year. I thought Jim Miller's plan in that first 2 minutes was spot on. until Donald started to execute that knee that he knew was going to be there.
And those kicks.
And those kicks. And, you know, and towards the end of that first round, when he was landing that knee with more frequency and following it up by body kicks, I think we all knew how this was going to right. end, and it did. But Jim Miller went out there and tried to take Donald's head off and was unsuccessful, when I think he probably would have crumpled most men for as injured as he was. It was a game fight, but another big win from Donald Cerrone, who wants Nurmagomedov, and I love that idea.
That would be great. So Donald Cerrone has won 4 times in 8 months, and he wants to fight again. I mean, this is, from a fan's perspective, what we love to see. A guy who goes in there, he's a game fighter, he comes forward, and he fights actively.
Well,
he's and they asked him too. So who do you want to fight? Whoever you put in front of me, just get another guy in front of me.
Well, and part of that is, you know, you see the jokes on Twitter, but part of it is because he blows through all of his money essentially before he gets home on Sunday. The other part of
he spends it to get home.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a migrant worker.
The other part of that is that he knows at 155. I'm sorry, that's what you have to do. You cannot be a fighter in the 155 division in the top 15 that fights twice a year and expect to be a title contender, because there are guys like Donald Cerrone who are going out and putting the work in and going, right. Hey, you will not be able to ignore me because I'm going to beat everybody until there's nobody left. So, Anthony Pettis, you can be injured, and you know, Gil Melendez, you can be on the Ultimate Fighter, and you guys can have that fight set, but maybe one of you guys gets injured, and look, I'm still here, and
right.
I've won 4 times in 8 months, and I'm fighting Nurmagomedov whenever I see him in the street, or whatever they're going to do. I think at 155, certainly at 170, that's why those guys, Robbie Lawler, Matt Brown, Lombard, you know, who's, when he's healthy, he fights as much as he possibly can. All of those guys, Kennedy, Rockhold.
Fan favorites. Everybody you just said is a fan favorite.
Because they'll take anything, because
exactly.
they know that shot at that title is so finite. You know, mm-hmm. in the heavyweight division, which is odd to say, especially if you rewind the clock a decade, the heavyweight division is kind of thin. Right? You don't need to be as busy at heavyweight to get attention. You need to win like 2 or 3 times, and then they have to talk
about
putting
you. Yeah, okay, you can fight Kane now.
Completely agree.
You know, but down below 170, 155,
you gotta say,
well, let's not forget, and he wasn't saying that. I know Jim Miller was talking about it going in. We're approaching a year since Anthony Pettis has actually defended that title, and there's been a lot of talk about how the UFC is not going to let their champions not. I mean, a year seems like a good mark.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Miller stated this. I mean, he's really out of the discussion now, but he talked about maybe an interim title's in order. Maybe this is going to be a situation where maybe it's not an interim title.
Well,
maybe you take a guy like Donald Cerrone and you find who's the top two guys, you and your friends right now.
Top two would be Gil Melendez and Benson, I would assume.
Would those be the top two guys?
Well, Anthony Pettis and Gil Melendez are going to coach tough, and then they'll fight. So he's booked already.
I get that, but I see what Jim Miller was saying. The Ultimate Fighter always kind of throws a kink into these things, but he's got no incentive to come back. And Jim Miller was right about that. Now, that doesn't mean he won't come back, and that doesn't mean he's not a champion that doesn't want to defend it. But right now, what's his incentive? He gets to take a year off and then coach the Ultimate Fighter. The guy's essentially been the champion, will be the champion for almost 18 months, if not more, by the time he has to defend. That's not fair in that division where Eric just talked about all these guys swimming around in the Shark Tank and going after these fights. And a guy like Donald Cerrone, he's got to take a fight every 4 months because he needs to survive. And that some of those are his issues. But some of those are the fact that, you can't get into that big payday when your guys are tied up.
Well, and on the other side of the card, Ken, it's really unfair to expect some of the reason I'm sure Dana was really mad at UFC 175 to expect that Ronda has to fight 8 times a year.
It's not,
you know, like the only reason she gets a break is because she's in 3 movies. Otherwise, they would have made her fight.
Well, and she had to be, and she's really injured at this point. I mean, think about what she's done with those real injury. I mean, she got back into MMA. Her knee was feeling good for a while, obviously after a bit. And she injured this back when she was doing judo. Nothing happened in any of the fights.
Right.
Just something she's got to get cleaned up. She's obviously got the hand injury. I know that you don't want to necessarily have to put things in black and white, because if you want to make some type of exception for a guy or do something for a champion, I think if you're a good organization like the UFC, you want that wiggle room. But where do we go when you want to be upset about certain guys in other divisions not fighting or not defending, or they're pulled out of the rankings. I mean, that's always a fun thing, too. I try to run to Eric's desk on Mondays. Hey, did anybody get pulled out of the rankings options?
Right.
Did something because they haven't fought quick enough? You've got a champion in your division right now in the lightweight division. I'm looking at the Shark Tank right here. I'm looking at the Shark Tank. This may be, I mean, I know welterweight's pretty crazy, too, but this may be the most talented division. Nobody's had a chance to fight the champion in a year.
Nope.
And it's going to be another 6 or 8 months when they do the Ultimate Fighter.
And I would say if you read back that top 10 from 10 all the way to not Benson Pettit, Benson and Melendez,
mm-hmm.
Nobody listening to the show and nobody on the show would not think those people could be champions.
Well, let me run down this.
Yeah.
I mean, we go to other divisions and we go, once you get past four.
Five or six.
Yeah. But I think Gray Maynard.
Sure.
I mean, he's still a tough dude. I mean, Michael Johnson, you can talk about him. Miles Jury, up and coming. He's at number eight. Jim Miller, okay, he might fall a couple, but he's still sitting at seven. I mean, and like you said, he took a hell of a beating in that short time.
And make no mistake about Jim Miller, probably half of those guys in the top ten he would have knocked out.
The surprising thing about Donald Cerrone, he's still at six. I thought he would jump a little higher there, what do you do with Rafael Dos Anjos and Nurmagomedov? He's calling out basically the highest guy he can other than Josh Thompson right now.
And I think because Dos Anjos is probably waiting for somebody to get injured because clearly he's the rightful heir at this point to take that next shot. But he's got to wait for something to happen.
Over Benson Henderson, you'd give it to Dos Anjos?
10 times out of 10.
Really?
I would at this point. I mean, how many times has Benson Henderson had a shot
10
here?
Times out of 10, dude.
Well, he was the champ. He only lost once, and he's come back and won at least two or three times decisively. And he finished his last fight,
I think, like
fight
seven
too.
Or eight more times he should have to
say. So the guys just got to beat everybody in the top 15.
I sort of see what Joe's saying here. The issue is, are we talking about a Pettis championship fight? No, he shouldn't be anywhere near it. Another guy? Maybe. I mean, you could make that argument. But guess what? We're not getting to make any of these arguments right now because Anthony Pettis is sitting. Remember how long ago does that seem now? Remember how exciting that was?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Pettis won? And he was the guy, too, that, he's going to take another fight in like a week. He's that kind of guy.
Right.
And I'm not blaming him for an injury. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to say he hasn't fought for what's coming to a year. And I'd totally forgot until you mentioned the Ultimate Fighter. I can't even believe that. I can't even believe the UFC would do that.
To buy some time.
Maybe.
Put him on that. At least our champion's out there. Buy a little more time to rehab the knee.
But see, the Ultimate Fighter with a champion, I really think that has to be done right after a defense to do anything there.
Well,
I mean,
doing the same thing with Cain, too, right?
Right.
He had a shoulder injury. Buy him a little time, but keep my champ.
But see, that's where it gets hard to write. You don't want a black and white because I think we would all agree in this room. All right, you give Cain a little bit of that break. He went through a couple of tough fights. He's established himself. He's a draw. I don't know that even though Anthony Pettis had that big win, that he's that draw yet. He's a guy that needs to go out there and fight. Guess what? It's not fair. You see Ronda Rousey out there every other week. She's got to fight. Anthony Pettis should be one of those dudes, too.
Well,
every three pay-per-views, he needs to be on the card.
And the difference, being the unfair difference in the world of sports, specifically combat sports, is you can headline a pay-per-view with Josh Barnett and Bigfoot with no belt.
I love that fight. I still don't know why.
You can do that in practice. I wouldn't go as far to say that's a successful plan.
But it's more successful than Mighty Mouse.
Right. The casual
probably
fan
will be, yes.
The casual fan wants to see heavyweights throw bombs because they know that there's going to be, to go back to Wednesday night, everybody likes it because there's a ton of finishes, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I just want to squelch the excitement a little bit because when you look at that Duke fight, I kind of want it to be a little bit more balanced, and I want that division. I want 125, 135, and 145.
Are you worried about, I'm going to call it the tough man influence. When you go out to see a tough man, you go out and you know those dudes aren't matched up. You're just going to go see somebody bang somebody in the head and probably beat him up. And there's a mismatch there.
Yes.
This obviously isn't that, but it's got a bit of that feel. Is that something that upsets you?
Not upsets me, but makes me concerned about the lower weight classes of the division, of the organization. Like, you know, we can jump ahead for a second. Mighty Mouse fighting Chris Caricio.
Who's that?
Right. He's unranked on a 3-fight win streak, and you've never heard of him. But they have to put him in there because guess what? Mighty Mouse wakes up and the guy who was the contender tested positive for PEDs. So they probably go down the list and go, well, let's find somebody who we know won't test and we'll put him on this card.
How far down is Chris on there?
He's not on it.
Not on it.
He's not on the
top. Not on it.
Okay.
I don't know if he's even fought
Chris
Caricio. In the top 10.
He's number 8. Maybe he went up when he got the shot. A bunch of guys voting. I better put him in the top 10. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Three-fight win streak, not a guy that most people are very excited to see, obviously, and certainly not a draw. And when you've got Mighty Mouse coming off of that lackluster pay-per-view performance.
It's the worst pay-per-view in the modern era of UFC.
So they're going to try and fix that.
Buy rate-wise.
Yeah, they're going to try and fix that, and they're going to put him underneath one that I think all of us want to see again. I think it's a little early, but we don't need to, you know, want to see Barão Dillashaw too. Who doesn't want to see that? Because, you know, we really got excited about Anderson and Weidman, and the similarities are all there.
But it's not Anderson and Weidman.
No, it's
not.
I mean,
we're all excited to see it, but.
But you had a guy who hadn't lost in nearly a decade taking on the underdog that nobody knew what he was going to do.
Right. See, I think sometimes they don't realize that it's not necessarily two quarters equaling 50 cents when they try to put these main events together. You know, let's say you're Chris Weidman main event, whoever he's going to fight. Let's say the Machida fight, the last pay-per-view.
Sure.
That's worth a buck. Sometimes they think that putting two fights in there worth 50 cents are going to be the same as having that one big main event.
Yep.
And I really don't think that's the case. So,
I guess I didn't see it like that. I saw it like, here's when you just said at the beginning of the show, we need more spotlight fights. Well, here's a guy who's maybe some people have him ranked, maybe some people don't have him ranked. He's 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever. Either way, he hasn't really beat anybody that puts him into title contention.
Yeah.
So we're going to put Mighty Mouse against him so Mighty Mouse can finish him and get an exciting finish in the co-main event as we lead into this thing. So that's his feature fight, as you called it.
No, it's definitely a feature fight, but I feel like sometimes we look at these cards. I mean, Dillashaw Barão, yes, everybody in this room, we want to see it. We want to know what's going to happen there.
Marginally.
Do we think that that's going to be one of the best-selling cards of the year? I don't think so. I mean, let's go to...
Do we care how much it sells, though, guys? Do we care how much it sells? Or
I don't think we care how much
somebody does.
Yeah, I mean, talked about the biggest stars over the years have been guys who have been big enough to then go get pay-per-view points. And that's they're going to get, and it's not necessarily written out, but a lot of times with those guys like George St. Pierre, a lot of times with guys like Anderson Silva.
Yeah, I think all the champs
like go back to Chuck Liddell. Yeah, those guys, yeah, there's certain guys that are going to get those. If you start just having, okay, we know we've got our 100,000 viewers. I mean, that's a great number, by the way. Bellator would stab half their fighters in the eye live on TV to have 100,000 that are just always there. They claim they got it for the Rampage fight. Okay, I'll believe you. I don't think you're getting it again if that's the case. To have that number every single time, they would love it. But that doesn't necessarily do any good for some of these guys on the card. And you look at this card, I would like to see, and see, we can't do it anymore, but without all of this glut, without this many cards, we could have seen Dillashaw Barão maybe on the card with, I don't know, maybe Bigfoot Arlovsky. I know that's not the greatest example, but you put that on top of the Bigfoot. You use the heavyweights to prop up your other division because you've said it a lot of times, Eric, and you're right. People love the heavyweights. Arlovsky, should he probably even be fighting in the UFC? I love the dude. Maybe not. Why not maybe see him on the card with Mark Hunt? Versus Roy Nelson.
Right.
Let's use some of these guys, but instead they all have to be main events on their own level of card, whether it's Fight Night, whether it's Fox Sports 1. So we don't really get to see Dillashaw Barão has to sell on its own merits. Not that it shouldn't, but it could do better with a little more padding underneath it and make bigger stars of both of those dudes. And it's not doing it right now.
The bad news is Dana White has said that this new program that they've rolled out, so they're doing all these, a lot more fights this year, right?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. It's very successful. They're making money on this.
Well, they say they're making money in each country they go to, and they're doing great.
Right.
In each country.
The bad news is I don't think it's going to change anytime
soon. Oh, I don't either. I think they're forward-looking.
I do have a question for you, though. So Ronda Rousey has built a star out of herself, really. She's doing movies.
Yep.
She tries to promote the fights. How much of the onus is on Demetrius Johnson, for example, if he's going to be headlining a pay-per-view, not only to be an excellent fighter, but to go out and actually sell that and to be concerned with the pay-per-view buys?
Well,
look at Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
He's a champion in the arena of public opinion already.
But he's a champion for two reasons. One, because he does what Ken's knock on those lower weight classes are. You know, he goes out there and he finishes fights. No, he goes for broke, right? He doesn't really play the point game. He's not going to tackle you and
wait, that's him going for broke?
Yeah, but I would say he hasn't earned the star status in the ring that he has right now. He's earned it outside of the cage.
Have you learned nothing from the Chael Sonnen era?
Yeah, well, that's my point, right? So Demetrius Johnson putting up 100,000 pay-per-view buys, how much of that is on his shoulders?
All of it is on your shoulders. I think in this day and age, if you don't understand that as a regular casual human being with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter that you are a brand, you certainly should understand if you're a UFC fighter that you are a brand. And if you're not doing things to get people to rally around you and want to see you do stuff the way that Chael Sonnen has, the way that Conor McGregor has, certainly the way that Josh Barnett has decided to go the bad guy route, but
it's worked.
There are people that really like him and then people that really hate him. The Diaz brothers, people that really like him, people that really, that's all on you. The UFC didn't come out and go, hey, we're going to bring these two guys from Stockton in. They're not really nice guys, so you should not.
They did build up Ronda as a champion, though. They have built her character, her.
Well, they
sponsor her.
Yeah, but you know what they haven't been able to do with Demetrius Johnson? They haven't been able to show anything. 10 fights of his where he's just annihilated somebody. If you're a fan of hopping, cool. Go, you know. that's what I'm saying. Look at the fights.
Look what
they've had to work with, the UFC and Ronda's fights, and look what they've got to work with him. And let's talk about small guys. Let's remember Floyd Money Mayweather in boxing. He has made a ton of money. Owns. We talked about it on the show. Owns everything in the arena when he has a fight.
He's the highest paid athlete in the world.
Nobody really cared when the guy was even 30-0. One of the best in the world. Best in the world, bar none. Nobody really cared. You know when they started caring? I think it was like 35, 34-0. It was that De La Hoya fight. That's when people started caring. Because when Mayweather said, I'm gonna beat him. I don't care what he did. De La Hoya's going to get. I don't care. Oh, my God. Did you hear what he said about De La Hoya?
Right.
And then the dude sold like 2 million pay-per-view buys for Ricky Hatton.
Right.
I remember I bought that fight. I'm like, why did I buy this fight? This is not a competitive fight. I wanted to see what was happening with Floyd.
Yeah, you wanted to see what happened. And to use the wrestling vernacular, he turned heel. Mm-hmm. And you see that. I mean, if you watched any wrestling, and everybody in here at one point has watched a lot of wrestling, you know, what was the most famous thing that Hulk Hogan ever did? He turned heel. That was a huge moment in the, you know, if you're a wrestling fan of the 80s and 90s, that's a big, big moment when that guy turns heel.
Yeah, well, I just looked at the record, by the way. He was 37-0 before he fought De La Hoya. And I know we watched him. I mean, we're in West Michigan, so we paid a little more attention.
Sure.
He wasn't the pay-per-view draw he was, though, before that De La Hoya fight. And basically, ever since then, every one of his fights has been literally money. The guy owns the building now when he fights. I'm not saying that you've got to run out there if you're Mighty Mouse and start running your mouth. And I don't know if he necessarily can back it up. I mean, MMA and boxing are different things. If you're undefeated that long, you can run your mouth without finishing guys, which Floyd did a lot of.
Okay, let me give you a different example before we go to break here. Look at Joe Lozon. Fan favorite. You want to know why Joe Lozon's a fan favorite? Well, because he does videos about fighting zombies. And then he goes on Twitter and he goes, hey guys, did you know that the new game Destiny is out on Xbox One? I love Xbox One. Here's my gamer tag. We should play. I'm going to be on from 9 to 11. He doesn't have to go out and talk trash because he just connects to people doing what he likes to do. Mighty Mouse is sponsored by Xbox. Why every night is he not playing UFC fans on Xbox?
So pay an intern to do it, you know?
Right. Like,
you don't even have to do it.
Right, just get the headset and cook dinner while you talk trash and your intern fights everybody.
Yes.
I don't know.
Just talk about getting lost in other people's
back
mother's
to that main event,
parts.
Guys.
Whatever
event.
They say on Xbox.
Donald Cerrone,
Jim
that
Miller. Main event, yes.
Can't
that
you tell it's underlined on the show plan?
Yeah.
That's how we know it's a main
that
event.
That front kick. Have we ever seen somebody get dropped from a front kick like that before?
Well,
beautiful.
It was beautiful. And what I liked about
Anderson Vitor?
Yes.
That was to the face. This was to the body.
That's
this
true.
Was to the solar plex.
What I
almost
liked
traditional karate style.
About DC's commentary after the fight is that people on Twitter were saying that the kick missed. And I liked the breakdown of the explanation that being kicked with the toes is actually worse because it actually gets up underneath the ribcage that your flat
Absolutely.
Part of your shin would not do. And it's actually a way more painful way to get
it. Pushes your lungs in.
Right.
And it's a finer point, too.
Yes.
So it's a small area versus your whole shin.
And it's his gross toes.
And if you're Uriah Hall, it's a bone going into your body.
It's a sword going straight into your gut if you're fighting Uriah Hall. All right, when we come back, we got a fight in Dublin. We're going to talk about Ronda Rousey wins a huge award, and all of it is next on Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
Because you better. It's Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Joe, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We were talking about UFC Fight Night 44 and Saturday.
Is that really the number?
Yes.
You committed those to memory?
Because this one is 45.
I'm impressed. Nice. Yeah.
45 in Dublin. So, yes, I've committed them all to memory.
Are they fighting? Yeah, they are Fight Nights. See, it's confusing. Yes. Why not just call them Fight Pass? Then we know it's on Fight Pass.
To be honest with you,
the nighttime.
I wish they, if you're not going to do a...
He's hung up on the night part.
It's night there, though, you idiot.
You're
the one
here.
You're the one up until today who's been advocating the right, out of all of this.
You are the one who's like protesting every time that we're like...
It's just not a fitting title if it starts at 3 o'clock. Let's call UFC.
And Joe yells at us about world plans.
Why can't we watch UFC Macau
at
10 p.m.? Shut up, you guys. It's not for you. Dana told me it's not for you.
They put somebody on the card he cares about, Conor McGregor.
I said that once, like 3 months ago.
You say it every time we talk about it. Dana told me.
You guys say that I said every time.
Dana told me. It's not for you guys.
So right, we should keep
I'm tweeting Dana.
This is not for you.
They're picking on me again, Dana.
It's like that Pearl Jam song. That's what Dana told me.
It's not for you. It's for Eddie only.
Me and Dana were playing Xbox.
Yes, we were playing Xbox with Demetrius Johnson, talking about the things that aren't for you, like playing Xbox with Demetrius Johnson.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
UFC Fight Night. We are in Dublin.
Fight Day.
UFC Fight Lunch live from Dublin as Conor McGregor takes on his replacement in that bout, which is Diego Brandão. And I think Ken would call most of this card. What would you call it? Oh, a feature fight. That's what you would call that. So Conor McGregor.
I wouldn't call most of this card a feature fight.
You don't think it's weighted in one favor of the other?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't feature much of this on anything. I wouldn't. That's all I'm saying. So,
okay.
No, it's not a bad, it's a fight pass card. You get a couple fights. I like the Ian McCall fight. I don't know. I feel like he could do something with Brad Pickett there.
The Pickett-McCall fight's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get to see Gunnar Nelson very often, which is why, again, I think it's easy to be angry at fight pass. And then Conor McGregor and Diego Brandão, I think, is a great, exciting fight and a way for Conor to spotlight his striking and his diverse striking against a guy like Brandão, who's always game to go. And if you're somebody who listens to the show but not very often and wonders why I'm always rallying against Fight Pass, it's not that I hate Fight Pass. It's that I don't understand why I can't watch Fight Pass on my television.
Yeah.
So when you put Fight Pass on PlayStation 4 or the Xbox, I will subscribe to it.
No, you got
to
buy a Roku box.
I will subscribe to it when it's on something I use.
My mom can watch Fight Pass because she has no interest in an Xbox or PS3, but I need to buy a Roku box or Apple TV.
This is what I'm saying. So once you put it on a platform that I use, like my Xbox One, I'm all in. But until then, no, I'm not watching this on my phone. Sorry.
Well, the other thing, too, and I'm going to...
Held
I'm
up
gonna,
in the corner of my bedroom.
Dude. I'm going
to... Zooming in.
You can watch it on your laptop.
I know.
You can watch it. I'm not advocating any of it.
I'm not buying a cord to watch it on my laptop, on my TV. I'm just not doing that.
I know we've actually seen changes, so I don't know who at the UFC is listening, but somebody might be. So,
well, clearly, I mean, based on the conversation that Joe has about it not being for us, it's got to be Dana. So
I'm just pipelining all this information.
Well, remember when they weren't putting times on the cards, and now there's times on them. Now, can I ask for one more thing? For the UFC.
I love that you think this is your Fight Pass drive-through order.
No.
Like, fries, light salt.
We're always looking for
feedback.
Really
listening.
They should be looking for feedback. Here's what I like about some of the Fight Pass notifications. They remind me of things I would have forgotten about otherwise. Here's one of the things I don't like. You only give me one notification when the card starts. And like I mentioned on Wednesday, that notification was like 2 in the afternoon. Because we know the fights start very early when you're watching them and you do all of the Fight Pass prelims and then you do the Fox Sports prelims and you do that. So they start much earlier than the main events ever start. Can you give me a reset at least? I would love if Fight Pass would give me a notification when a main event's going to start.
Yeah.
I know they probably don't want to do that, so at least give me, hey, Fight Pass prelims on now. If you want to check them out, they're starting now. Ding, main card starts. Okay, that gives me an idea of what now my time commitment, because you've got on here this time of day. If you would give me a notification when that's starting, I'm more likely to remember to watch it at some point. Might not even watch it then, but on Fight Pass, I can watch it anytime. Oh, that's right, I can do this later. But unfortunately, you get the pre-fight notification, and then you get the scrum notification. So that's like an 8-hour window for a UFC event.
Which is interesting given, if I can nerd out for a second, given what, and Joe, I know this is right up your alley, given what we know about mobile notification technology, you know, I mean, this show, you can hear it on iHeartRadio, and they notify you about everything.
Yeah, we get a lot.
Not in a way that interrupts you, but whatever you have opted into,
exactly.
It goes, hey, it's Saturday afternoon. Normally you run. Do you want the Perfect Four running playlist? As a matter of fact, I do. I haven't run yet. You know, oh, Way of the Warriors up. You subscribe to that. Here's the new episode. Oh, I can totally check that out. I'm with you. Why can't you just do it minute by minute? Because it's not like, unlike television, I know why they don't tell you on television, Jim Miller and Donald Cerrone are going to fight at 1:30 on Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because most people would laugh. And number two, because they want you to watch the commercials. We've already paid for the Fight Pass part.
Right.
So after that, it should be as convenient as possible. If you only want to watch the Norman Park fight, it should tell you. Norman Park is fighting right now.
Well, you can opt in and out of those notifications, too. So it's not like they'd be that intrusive.
But what I'm saying, Ken, is if you want that ability, it should be able to tell you. Or you should be able to opt into your favorite fighter. So, like you said, Ian McCall. I love Ian McCall fights. All right, Ken Evans, I'm going to tell you when Ian's fighting. He's fighting right now.
Yeah.
Because they've already got your $9.
You know, perhaps they don't want to do that because then you would be watching a la carte. Just like a cable provider.
Yeah, but
for example,
your money. Who cares?
Well, not just for Fight Pass, but like for Fox Sports One fights or anything else, because want you. Oh, just Fight Pass.
I would like it for all of them, but yeah.
I mean, obviously, everyone would like it a la carte. We know why they can't do a la carte and cable and all of those things. That's not what I'm saying. You've already paid the freight for the piece of content.
So specific to Fight Pass. Completely makes sense.
Because what you want about Fight Pass is people to use it a lot. And the way to get them to use it a lot is to get them to use it the way they want to use it. And most people that would opt into Fight Pass aren't going to be.
I'll make sure to tell Dana while we're on the PlayStation Network tonight.
You know, right, and ask him why it's not on the play. You know, but they're not going to be in a place where they're going to sit down at noon on Saturday and chunk out that part of the day. Maybe they will. That if they're not in MMA media, maybe they won't. But they might if it's 3 p.m. and they get a notification that says Conor McGregor's fighting, and they go, "Oh, I've heard about Conor McGregor.
Let me check that out
because it's 15 minutes of my day, and then I'm in and I'm out." And that Fight Pass app is awesome because it tells me exactly what I want.
Right. I can look at this right now. I have my Fight Pass open and tell you the notifications I'm going to get. I'm going to get a notification at 9:30 in the morning on Saturday.
Okay.
That the Fight Pass prelims have started, because I can tell how they're doing this with the way they set their schedule up. I will then get a notification at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that everything's done if I want to watch the post-fight press conference. That's a giant window that I should at least get something else in there. It doesn't have to be even fight by fight.
And maybe it's a bandwidth issue, so maybe the fighter's...
It's a notification.
Yes, but I'm saying... Maybe the fighter thing is me jumping too far ahead, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to at least tell you that the main card is starting.
Yeah, main card beginning now. You see Conor McGregor, Diego Brandão.
Or their child, Conor McGregor.
Whatever. I'd like to see somebody. That's our hang up now, as I mispronounce a name. Well, see, I'm trying to read the Fight Pass notifications, and I'm getting confused because they're stupid.
Okay, I think we've
there's
going to
be a
source.
Fight Club. I guarantee I'll get a Fight Club Q&A. I will get that. I'm sorry. I already got that this morning. Never mind. See, I don't even remember what I've gotten now. These notifications. Just tell me when Connor's fighting.
As a side note, what makes you angrier, the terrible judging in MMA or Fight Pass? As long as we're going to take the whole show off the rails.
Well, I pay $10 a month for the Fight Pass, so that's probably making me angrier right now.
Yeah, if I could get a judge to do his job, I might pay $10 a month for that.
We pay $30 for three judges.
We'll go halfsies. I'll put $5, you put $5. MMA.
A couple other notes this week. We were talking about Ronda Rousey won big at the ESPYs. She and Jon Jones got shut out for Fighter of the Year. That, of course, went to Ken's favorite fighter on planet Earth, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
As it should. Highest paid athlete on planet Earth.
It's tough. I mean, MMA folks are mad. It's not about who would win in a fight, guys.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's not what the ESPYs. I mean, Drake hosted the thing. Let's calm down about the.
Drake, like, wearing a Masters jacket or whatever he was wearing.
He's covered in Cheeto dust.
Yes. He's very athletic.
Pretending he was
though.
Blake Griffin.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what he's doing. But she did win Best Female Athlete, which I think is a huge.
Absolutely.
Thing, not only for Ronda Rousey, but I think for mixed martial arts. I was talking to other people in the building this week about this, saying that if you want to see the UFC breaking into the mainstream, it's not really being done on the backs of any of the men fighters. Ronda Rousey is pulling this cart seemingly by herself. You know, because you're going to see her in the Expendables and you're going to be like, man, she's really good, and she her thing in entre. You know, if you like what Ronda's doing, I was making fun of it on Facebook this week, but it's not unlikely to see her have the same sort of success as Dwayne Johnson, The
yeah,
Rock.
Yeah, she wants to be. She's
I know she wants to be,
career.
And I don't know that like that quite yeah. will happen, but because I think his timing might have been better, and what would be he's been able to kind of
yeah.
do a you know a
she's
couple,
halfway there.
Yeah, but she but he's been able to do a couple shades of gray that she hasn't gotten into yet.
Sure,
like
sure.
you need to see her in kind of action, dramedy, romance. That,
yeah,
you know, like
a little
she,
more acting.
Well, she needs to do like a couple different things because the problem is you don't want to end up being Gina Carano, who's only in what's the movie she does seven
Who
version
knows?
Of?
Yeah.
Don't ask yeah. me.
Okay.
I figure she's coming back to UFC. That's when I'll pay attention
Straight
again.
Straight to DVD movie.
She won't be yeah. See, yes. I guess I'm more skeptical with you guys. I don't think Ronda's got that range, so I think she needs to concentrate on fighting.
I don't know if she does or does not, but what I'm saying is a win like this and being on the ESPYs just continues to make this sport top of mind.
Sure.
And I
want to talk about a feature bout, though. She's up against a WNBA player. She's
an Olympian.
Hold on. I know who she's. I was doing the list. She's up against a WNBA player, an NCAA basketball player, and an Olympian nobody's ever really heard of. I get that. Michaela Schifrin. Who was it? Nobody's really heard of her.
Okay.
It's not like a huge. This was a feature fight for Ronda. That's what this was at the ESPYs.
I don't know.
It's a big deal, though.
It's huge. It's the first MMA person to win in ESPY. And so I've got a question directly for you, Eric.
He doesn't want to talk to me.
Nope.
So if she was a male, given everything that she's accomplished, would you put her higher on your pound-for-pound list?
The only and I know that Dana has talked about this, and
yeah.
I certainly think it's a fair criticism. The only reason I have not is because, save for the Miesha Tate fight, which was mildly a test, she, in my mind, she's fantastic. But I need to see her, and maybe she can't be tested.
Yeah, it's
and,
not know, her fault that she's so much better.
I understand that. But
you know when the guys have been tested, right?
Yeah, I've seen these guys be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I've got them where I've got them, right? We've seen Jones taken to the limit
yeah.
of nearly breaking.
Going 25 minutes and having to come back.
Nearly
yeah.
being broken and coming back. And I think that cements him at number one. You know, undefeated save for when Matt Hamill beat him to death. Kidding. Totally kidding.
He's still alive.
No, because Matt Hamill won by disqualification.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know.
You know, save for that, he's unblemished. He's had a couple big tests. The Glover was not an easy fight for him. Rampage was not an easy fight for him. And she hasn't had that yet. And that's unfair to her, and I will readily admit that.
Yeah.
But she might not be able to be tested. She may blow through Holly Holm. She may blow through, well, I'm sure she'll blow through Gina Carano. She may she may annihilate Cyborg. And if at that point, when there's nobody else to fight, I think she sits at four or three. But until you can find somebody to fight her. But I don't see anybody in the rankings.
Yeah. She is winning in spectacular fashion.
She is a spectacular athlete. I just, when you're talking about pound for pound, it's would she beat any one of those people on the list, right? And I can't answer, you know, who's the best pound-for-pound fighter?
Is that how you look at it? So you would say, well, John Jones would beat Cain Velasquez?
Well, I think, well, I can say this for Eric as far as the rankings with he and his friends. He one of the questions you've asked me probably a couple times is, where do I put Ronda? Because you're trying to figure that out. I think everybody's trying to figure that out. And, I don't necessarily agree that it's this guy's going to beat this guy. It's almost like, package. Here's the package, because I don't think anybody thinks Floyd Mayweather's going to beat a Klitschko,
right?
But pound for pound, he's a better fighter.
Yeah, and,
exactly.
and that's what I'm saying is,
yeah, yeah.
Do I think he's going to beat Kane? No, but if all things were equal,
right?
Everybody was 120
yeah, yeah.
pounds,
mm-hmm.
right? That's kind
exactly.
of how that's how I look at it. And so, John's at the top because I think if everything being equal, he would beat all of them. I don't know about Ronda and her ability on that level because I haven't seen her have to be tested, and unfair or not, she may not ever be tested. She just may be that fantastic.
Yeah.
And so she may.
Speaking of being tested, though, there's a lot of big women's MMA news this week,
she
right?
She is. You know,
Holly Holm is coming to the UFC.
She is. And then there was the announcement that we made last week and kind of broke down a little bit. We'll break down again that Invicta will now be streamed on Fight Pass, just not on your television. You will get to see Cyborg, who will make her 135 debut in December in Invicta.
Yep.
So assuming she makes that and tests clean, we've got a Super Bowl fight, my friends.
Heck yeah.
And
Do we?
Man, I hope so.
Do if that's not alone though, right? You're not expecting that to carry the card.
I would.
Yeah,
I'm,
for sure.
I'll give you money if you could tell me that's a thing. I'm giving it to you right now.
You are, and he is, and
yep.
I
so you
might.
You've got $120. Let's go.
And
so
Gina Carano is meeting with Dana White this week.
Yes,
and supposed to. Dana said that he's going to close that deal.
He has said that. We'll jump ahead just in a second. That's not going to carry the card with a casual fan. As much as people love Ronda, they're not going to believe that this person could beat her just because of what.
They'll hype
seen.
It up to the casual
maybe,
fan for
maybe.
Sure.
I don't think that can go alone on Super Bowl weekend.
I think I think beating Alexis Davis in 18 seconds and winning an ESPY a week later has done a lot to her, and I think being in three movies before the end of the year also raises her stock. Do I think that's the only thing that's going to be on the card? No, that's insane.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be a big fight and a fight.
You think
that,
it's the main event?
Oh, yeah.
I would
for
hope
sure.
so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The way things are rolling out, I don't know what else it would be unless it's Rory McDonald and Johnny Hendricks.
Let's see.
If I'm playing some guessing,
which would be
we'll
sweet.
Have to lay these out one of these weeks because we always just get stuck in this spot.
But Joe was referring to, Dana has been working on Gina Carano. It stalled out. It got hotter last week, and then it stalled a little bit. Here's the problem: is that she's got some movie stuff that she's already committed to, and the fighting cannot interfere with it, and that is the sticking point. And the Fertittas and Dana White are having a difficult issue with Hollywood lawyers, and that's essentially all it is. If they can figure that out, mm-hmm. and they're very good at figuring stuff out,
that's got to get figured out because they need her back in front of an audience that wants to see her.
Yep.
I'm not saying Hollywood audiences don't want to see her, but they want her back to build. They need to build her back up a little bit. Like you mentioned, Eric, I mean, we couldn't mention off top of our head a movie she's been in.
And the UFC is positioned now to be able to pay her a lot better than they could have five years ago.
She could probably live on a UFC contract, which she really didn't want to have to do on a Strikeforce contract.
Yep.
Correct.
And all the people around her that make money from her have to know this is the best thing. So it'll get worked out. But then again, we said that about Fedor. We thought that would get... Does she have crazy Russians involved?
We know for a fact that M1 is not involved, so
this might
I think
go a little better.
Things are looking good.
I think we would be good. All right, when we come back, we will break down the rest of what's going on in the world of news and anything else that happens to break. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And as fast as we can say it, it gets broken, as is the world of mixed martial arts. We talked in segment one about how excited we are about Donald Cerrone and Khabib Nurmagomedov. And in that time, that fight was inked for UFC 178. And in that time, that fight was scrapped for UFC 178 as Khabib Nurmagomedov suffered a knee injury today, which is Friday, so he will be out of that fight as we are on the countdown for UFC Fight Night 45, which will be in Dublin coming up tomorrow on Fight Pass. Other news, Dana White has come out and said they are really close. We talked about this in the last segment. They are really close to signing Gina Carano. If they get it done on Monday, she is next for Ronda Rousey, more than likely in December on that New Year's Eve card. So if you are a fan who's been waiting for this thing, chances are it's going to get done. If it gets done on Monday, they are going to ink that fight, let Ronda have the time she needs to heal her hand and her knee, and you will see her back on New Year's Eve. Which, of course, begs the question, should she get the immediate title shot? But as Ken Evans was just saying moments ago, it doesn't really matter because she's going to sell tickets, and she's certainly going to sell pay-per-views. So, like I said, if it happens on Monday, you're going to see it in December against Ronda Rousey, all things being equal. We talked a little bit about this last week when Floyd Mayweather was asked about Ronda Rousey. He said, I don't even know who he is. He has come out and apologized to Ronda and wanted to congratulate her on her ESPY win, because if there's one thing that Floyd is very good at, it's putting the spin on when the spin is necessary. So he has apologized, said, I misheard them, and I apologize. Congrats on your ESPY. And a couple more things before we take off. If you are looking for something to watch over the weekend, Dana White has done a video specifically for the MMA Underground, which is him and Sakuraba talking about the old days of Pride. That is on our Twitter account and on Facebook, so you can check that out. Plus, next week, UFC on Fox 12 happens as Matt Brown faces against Ruthless Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler will join us next week. We will also talk to Darren Cruikshank. All of that stuff is going to happen next. All weekend long, follow along at Wow Show on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook for the latest and greatest in the world of mixed martial arts, including everything coming out of Dublin. And we'll find out if Conor McGregor really is going to knock Diego Brandão's head clean off his shoulders. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.